Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm gonna be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
This is The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to The Remnant. I'm Bill Snyder. This is a wonderful show, all for men, and we're so glad to be here on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. I'm joined, as always, by my two friends, Stephen Thomas and Ray Haywood. And on this afternoon's episode, we are going to be talking about social capital in this first segment. And so, Ray, would you give us some context? Because I know you have some great perspective as we can lead into this episode.
Absolutely. Social capital, something that I never heard of before. So a few weeks back, my two sons and I, along with Stephen and a few other men, met at our friend Edwin's house. We shared in a lot of spirited conversation. It was truly a great night in fellowship. In one of our conversations, Stephen mentioned social capital. I had no idea what that meant. It actually took a few back and forth exchanges between Stephen and my son, Nicholas, for me to fully understand what social capital means and what place it holds in our physical realm. So we felt it worthwhile to share this awareness with all of you. I'm confident that this awareness will definitely help our older listeners who, like myself, may have never even heard of the societal construct of social capital. So social capital is a political hot button topic that Bill will quickly bring into perspective for all of us. Then we will begin to place intent into how we as men can begin to relate social capital to spiritual capital in the breach that Adam has left behind for all of us to fill here in our physical realm. Thoughts on this, Bill?
Yeah, so I mean, very simply, social capital is a term used for kind of who controls the power of society, right? Is it the marginalized people, the poor, those people who are faith-filled, or is it the people who are the elites in our society, Hollywood, and you know, the rich, the tech geniuses, all of these things? Do they carry the capital? Do they carry the weight? And are they able to direct how the general population thinks and acts? And so when we look at this term, we really have to look at that it began with a spiritual capital almost, and a fight for what we might call social capital. That battle happened all the way back in the Garden of Eden, folks. Yes, we can go all the way back that far to our Genesis, to our creation, to look at this. And here's what I mean by that. So when Adam and Eve first sinned, when the fall happened, there were not just one sin. I mean, a lot of people think that Eve was the one that just ate the apple, and that's the sin, and in disobedience to God, and we move on. But the reality is that Adam also sinned. No, he didn't eat the apple first. Yes, he ate the apple second. But he also failed in his effort to stand up and protect Eve. We, as men, particularly, have to stand in the breach that Adam left. That's what we are called to do. We are called to protect. God is the provider. We are the protectors. And so in order to regain the social capital, we have to look at our spiritual capital. Stephen, you have any thoughts on this as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to say here, and this has all been so good. So I guess what I'd like to focus on is the idea of social capital as a metric by which we can measure the potency or the impotence of a set of values, ideals, and traditions and their impact on the world writ large. And as a Catholic educator, I think my perspective is fairly unique. It's been fascinating to me in my on-the-job training and in professional development to learn from myself the institutional history of Catholic education and how it's related to the gradual secularization of society that we've seen over the past few decades. Or to put it in other words, the shift of social capital from Christian institutions such as schools, churches, and charities to more secular forces like celebrities, Hollywood, Silicon Valley, or the government. You may notice the latter list is the same list from which social trends emerge. The latest fashion, music, smartphones, you name it. They're all vehicles by which social capital is further concentrated into the hands of those who peddle them. And I believe the inherent problem with this can be exposited in whatever latest rap song one listens to, or if anybody examines the sort of inappropriate content that a kid can innocently view on a smartphone, then these are inherently dangerous things. So what can we do? And I believe the answer lies in a three-prong approach, and that one that men can actively get involved in. Now, for work, a few months ago, I read a book called Renewing Catholic Schools, How to Regain a Catholic Vision for a Secular Age, and it's written by Archbishop Samuel J. Akua of the Archdiocese of Denver. And in it, the Archbishop states that Catholic culture rests on three core pillars, and these are our educational institutions, the parish, and the family. So how then do we use those three things to restore social capital? By promoting the necessity of the family with the father at the head, promoting authentic Catholic education with authentic Catholic educators at the helm, and promoting active participation in our communities with emphasis on both the family life and with the parish as the cultural center of our spiritual lives. The parish is supposed to be our refuge from the world, from which we draw refreshment from the worldly wear and tear we have. I'll close with this. All three of these, when done right, are places where the idea of authentic Catholicity, the unique Catholic identity even, can be articulated and nurtured. And it's where we grow our moral bedrock, so that seeing the world through an authentically Catholic lens is just the automatic response we have. And it's the response that future generations will need in the world.
Yeah, you know, Stephen, I really liked how you mentioned that the parish should be the cultural center. And I think that goes a long way to restoring the social capital in our society. When you know, of course, the Catholic schools and the education process, it's very, very important. But when we view the parish as the center, I know, Ray, you use this too a lot of times as the town square, right? Or the public square. Yes. Where if we rediscover that image that the church leads right out into the public square, then only one thing can happen. That the church will reclaim and help us reclaim the social capital that we need to have back in our arsenal in order to do one thing, which is restore the balance, restore morals, right? And so I think that is such an important thing that you hit on, Stephen, about really putting that back in our society. And so, you know, maybe Ray, you have some ideas about how we can do that.
Yes. So what we are coming to here is what I call and consider to be divine capital. And divine capital is found within the family construct, the trinity of the family, the mother, the father, and the child. And I put the mother first because our families, our wives, are always lifted up before us. Our wives, our children, they come before us. And when we as men approach our families in that manner and our children see that, then we start to reflect rather than mirror what's happening out in society. And we start to change our families, our faith communities, our parishes, and ultimately our public square. And if we were to have the opportunity as men to actually understand, spend some time in self-examination of what divine capital is within spiritual capital, boy, we could change some things, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely. Folks, I'm looking forward to the second half of this episode that we're going to do. We have to take a short break here on The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network. We'll be right back after these messages. But stay tuned because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite saints, St. Maximilian Kolbe. Right back after these messages.
Carolina Catholic Radio is your local EWTN parish and community connection, bringing you local news and information from over 100 parishes in the Charlotte Diocese and Rock Hill Oratory. Catch the spirit. Prayerfully consider a tax-deductible donation today at carolinacatholicradio.org.
How's it going, Remnant listeners? This is your co-host, Stephen Thomas. Like you and all discerning men, I am often intrigued and provoked by what I see and what I hear about in the world today, and I wonder whether or not I can reconcile it to our Catholic faith. And my apostolate primarily is that of the Catholic school teacher, but I also write essays and reflections on topics that I believe are either noteworthy or important to the Catholic world today. My work can be found at Musings of a Young Mind. Just search it or put Musings of a Young Mind Works.wordpress.com in your search bar. Thank you, and hail Christ the King. God bless.
Hello, my name is Ray Haywood, and I'm coming to you today to speak to you about the fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group, a men's group that was started under the leadership of Father Matthew Codd, by the intentional men of the parish of St. Thomas Aquinas here in our Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina. In our first efforts, we were asked if we would model our men's group in a way that other parishes could simply follow. With that intent in mind, we created the FSJJourneyman.com website. On that website, you can find all that is needed to create your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group in your parish, as well as resource documents that we are intentionally placing into our faith community. We hope that you will step closer to the path and to each other in the just model of St. Joseph as you consider creating your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group.
Today, many students go to college with numerous questions about their faith, yearning to know if the seed planted in them as a child is both true and practical. Using the miracle on the road to Emmaus as a model, young adult ministers conversed weekly for 3 months with college students about the most pressing questions they had about the Catholic faith. As they journeyed together virtually, something amazing happened. Doubts disappeared, fears faded, and Jesus revealed that He is still alive. Hearts Burning Within Us, the latest book from Patchwork Heart Ministry, is a result of that grace-infused conversation. It is the perfect back-to-school gift for recent high school graduates and current college students. Get your copy for them today at patchworkheart.org or by calling 424-704-3278. That's 424-704-3278.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
there's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Calling all Catholic men of the Carolinas, this is Jason Murphy for the Carolina Catholic Media 30 in 30, the road to a comeback. The men of the Charlotte Diocese are uniting to spread the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith on local radio airwaves. This month, we are kicking off a pledge drive to get our local Carolina Catholic radio station, AM 1270, back on the air. In these extraordinary times, we believe it is more important now than ever to evangelize on public airwaves to the tens of thousands of souls who travel on the highways around metropolitan Charlotte and beyond. So how do we accomplish this? Here's the math. Phase 1, 30 days. If 1,000 men come forward and donate $1 a day for 1 month, we can put Carolina Catholic Radio back on the air. 1,000 men times $30 donation equals $30,000. Phase 2, 90 days. Help Carolina Catholic Radio get back in the black. If 1,000 men make a $20 monthly donation from October to December, it will pay off all debts by the end of year. Phase 3, ongoing. If 1,000 men commit to an ongoing $10 monthly donation in 2022, it will allow us to meet projected monthly expenses throughout the year. Can we count on you to be a part of this comeback? Please be sure to download the Carolina Catholic smartphone app from your Apple Store or Google Play to experience all the great local content available through Carolina Catholic Media. This vitally important and historic comeback is sponsored by Catholic Men of the Carolinas, the Knights of Columbus, and the Fraternity of St. Joseph's Men's Group. If not us, who? If not now, when? For the Carolina Catholic Media Network, this has been Jason Murphy. God bless. And Esto Vir.
Welcome back to The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
All right, guys, welcome back to The Remnant Show. So we're going to be talking about our saint. It's going to be Maximilian Kolbe. He's a fitting third saint. I think it ties to our episode theme well. He awaited his martyrdom after earlier in life, the Blessed Virgin appeared to him holding two crowns, one white for purity and one red for martyrdom. Our mother gave him the choice to have the crowns, and he accepted. That is, stepping into the breach. Later on, with the rise of the Nazi regime, he was eventually taken to Auschwitz, where he stepped into the breach again and earned his crown. He took another's place, telling his captors to take him instead. The man that he took the place of had a family, so he said, "I'm a Catholic priest with no family. Take me instead." His witness is the witness of the martyrs, and all of great faith is a powerful vehicle with which we can re-legitimize our Catholic faith, its culture, its people, its social capital. Look to the lives of the saints, for there is all the direction and inspiration you will ever need to be a good, faithful Catholic. And Bill, I'll toss it to you for that.
Yeah, you know, it is so true. And Maximilian Kolbe is one of my most favorite saints, mainly because I had the opportunity to get to know him very intimately. I lived for about 18 months at the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe, which is called Marytown. It's in Libertyville, Illinois, out in the Midwest. And living there, it was pretty powerful because we had an entire area dedicated to him in the basement of the shrine, where there was actually a replica cell of his cell at Auschwitz, where he gave up his life. And Stephen, you did a wonderful job talking about, you know, his life and what it meant to give it up. And the man he gave it up for, Francis Ganicek, I just want you to think about this for a moment, folks, that he attended Maximilian Kolbe's canonization. Francis Ganicek, the man who Maximilian Kolbe saved made his canonization. And his children, Francis Genicek's children, some of them became Catholic. Francis himself did not. But what's incredible about that great heroic sacrifice was not only what he did for Francis, but he also did something incredible for the men he was condemned to die with. So what ended up happening that day at Auschwitz was that a man escaped from the compound. And as a punishment to discourage anybody else from doing so, the Nazi soldier just randomly selected 10 men to die in the starvation chamber. Right? And so this one man drops to his knees. Francis drops to his knees. He goes, I have a family. I have a kids. Please don't take me. Please don't take me. And the miracle of St. Maximilian Kolbe stepping into the breach, saying, may I speak, is truly miraculous. Because, you know, if you spoke up, most of the time the German Luger would just be shot at your head and you'd be knocked dead. But the grace of God allowed Maximilian Kolbe to speak and for his wish to be granted to take that man's place. And then the crazy thing is, he went off to the starvation chamber and he knew what fasting was, folks. Don't he knew what fasting was. And he knew that he was going to die probably of starvation, except he didn't. He had to be poisoned with carbolic acid because he wouldn't die. And he would sing songs and pray with the dying people in the starvation chamber. There is a legend, and it's not verifiable, but there's a legend that is said that when the German soldier came in to check on St. Maximilian Kolbe and he was still alive, he looked him in the eyes and he said, do you have any idea how much I hate you? And Maximilian Kolbe just turned around and he looked at him again and he said, do you have any idea how much I love you? That's the radical kind of stepping into the breach in the face of ridiculously horrible evil that we have to emulate as men. And there's a lot of places where evil is taking over our society. Are we willing to step into that breach? And with that, Ray, I'll toss it over to you.
Yeah, so here we are in episode 3, and in our first 2 episodes, we placed honor for our Blessed Mother in St. Joseph. And when Stephen and Bill and I were discussing who would be the saint for this 3rd episode, this was an easy choice for Bill, because we're talking about stepping into the breach and St. Maximilian Kolbe, who Bill calls Max. This yeah. was an easy choice for him. So, you know, the reason why it was an easy choice for him is because he literally stepped into the breach that was left behind for us by Adam. The breach, my brothers, that we must all commit to stepping into. Today, it is commonplace for men, people, to become hardened of heart toward any form of suffering. I want to stress that it is through sharing in God's grace that we are set free to suffer well. And that in the state of grace, we are healed from all suffering, even the self-inflicted pain of suffering we place in our own hearts as we turn away in our denial to suffer. As men, we put limits on our unlimited love of our Father in our denial to suffer. If we as men take to heart our God-given place as leaders of our families and communities, we will see that our denial to suffer has devastating effects on our families and those same communities. Suffering now challenges us to the core of our beings. If we look to Jesus, we see that his suffering led to his resurrection. The same can be said true for all of us. The greater the struggle, the more committed the saint. Saint Maximilian Kolbe is a great example of this truth. And his ordination at his first mass, the longest list of his long intentions was this one. This is the intent that he said at the end. Love to the point of victimhood, his self-giving to his impending martyrdom. In his consecration to Mary, he gains this Marian nerves of steel that allows for this act of free will. It's amazing. So, oh, immaculate, how sweet will the death of those who belong to you, is another quote that he has said. So when we think of this type of a spiritual father just stepping in for a man who's crying out to his family. So who was that man to this spiritual father? This man was his family. As he said, I don't have family. This man is his family he stepped in for. And this leads so well into my Remanent challenge. As men, we need to step closer in understanding the place that our sacraments hold in our new covenant teachings. As Catholics, we share in the fullness of the sacraments as our guiding convictions that lead us through the graces that instill to choose like that of Saint Maximilian Kolbe toward working out our salvation in our physical realm as we continue to step closer in our spiritual realm towards fearlessness, fear of nothing, not even death. I can tell you from experience that when you share in this loving exchange of the heart, fearlessness is only one of the many worldly wedges that can remove through the peaceful resolve of a life well lived. For me, a life well lived is easy to achieve through our sacraments and mirroring the just model of Saint Joseph. What do you think, fellas?
Amazing stuff. So we need to promote the parish as a cultural center because that's the font from which Catholic social life springs. So my Remanent challenge to you this week is to in some way participate in the life of your parish. Sure, you may think that what you do might be insignificant, but this is one of the snares of the devil, who is, as the prayer goes, always prowling like a lion, looking for any way to lead us astray. Persevere and find a group to participate in this week, whether it's a soup kitchen or a discussion group, or even just taking an hour slot for Eucharistic adoration, whenever that is at your church. You may be interested in forming your own men's group. We at the Men's Fraternity of St. Joseph at St. Thomas Aquinas in Charlotte have a template for starting your own parish chapter, which you can find the resources for at fsjjourneyman.com. So many people tell me that they're happy to see a man who owns his faith. So take it with full faith that every moment and every little thing that we can do counts. Awesome. Bill, I'll let you do the last one.
Awesome stuff. This week for me is really simple. Leave it all on the table. When I think about St. Maximilian Kolbe, when I think about stepping into the breach, what is the area that you're holding back from God in your life? Reflect on that and then surrender it to Him. It may not be perfect in the perfect moment. You may not be able to do it all at once, but identifying it really is, 98% of the battle. What is the thing that's holding you back or that you're holding on to? And be ready and willing, like Maximilian Kolbe, to accept the crowns and turn it over to Him. So that's what I'll leave you with this week. And that's all the time we have on this week's episode, but we'll be back next week. And until next time, from all of us here at Carolina Catholic Radio Network and the Remnant. Thanks so much. I'm Bill Snyder. May God bless you and your families.
Thank you for joining The Remnant today. For more information about us, email theremnantshow@gmail.com. That's the REMENANT show at gmail.com.